You know, tomorrow is Memorial Day. It's a holiday designed for our nation to honor those who have served and died defending our country. You know, I'm reminded by a quote that was originated 1 week after Pearl Harbor, and it was spoken by President Roosevelt. And this is what he said. He goes, "Those who long enjoy such privileges that we enjoy forget in time that others have died to win them." You know, I have never served in any branch of military. I did and do have several family members who have served, who have suffered and sacrificed in wartime. You know, one of my family members who served was, this will date me a little bit, was my mother's mother. My grandfather served in World War II. He was a Navy CB and also a member of the Order of Shellbacks. For all you Navy folks out there, you know what that means. Another one was my dad's brother, my uncle. And he retired from the Navy as well. My uncle served in the Vietnam War right out of high school. And friends, he didn't serve one tour. He didn't serve two tours. He didn't serve three tours. But he served five tours in that awful war. I can remember my grandmother sharing with me that when those boys were drafted right after graduation in their senior year, there was 12 of them that left North Little Rock, Arkansas. But when that first tour was over, only two of them came home. She always wrestled, trying to understand why my uncle would return four more times. I can tell you, friends, in my eyes, the two I mentioned and the ones I didn't mention are true American heroes to me. They were all characters, if you will, who truly had character. Now, I know from my own life experiences that loved ones of those serving in military personnel, they also suffer and sacrifice just as the individual who is serving does. And if you're watching this morning, but you're a veteran, a loved one of a veteran, an active duty military personnel, or the spouse of a child of a military person, we here at Green Forest United Methodist Church want to say thank you for your sacrifices. I mean, we all know freedom is never really free. It always has been and always will be bought with the blood, sweat, and tears of the men and women and their families who are willing to risk life and limb in defense of our great nation. As we continue to enjoy this holiday weekend, I hope that all who are watching will take some time tomorrow to remember those who have served and are serving in our military branches. You know, with this weekend being a holiday to remember those who have sacrificed for our country, I thought it would be apropos for our sermon time to look at an individual who was willing to suffer and sacrifice for the cause of Christ. Now, let me give you some hints. He is the first Christian martyr, and he was not an original disciple, nor was he ever considered an apostle. Do you know who I'm referencing? Yeah, that's right. It's Stephen. Stephen. So this morning, we are going to be looking at Stephen's account by reading from the book of Acts in the 6th chapter. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8. Dave is going to provide them on the screen for you. And I want to ask you to read along with me. Beginning in verse 1, it said, "In those days when the number of disciples were increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. The proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon from Manus, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Now, it's our tradition here after the reading to say, this is the word of God for the people of God, and everyone responds, thanks be to God. Would you please join me in a word of prayer? Oh Lord, your word is so powerful. It is filled with such great insight and instruction. So today, Lord, we just ask as we look at your word, that your Holy Spirit will guide this time and let it minister to our heart and souls as we continue to glean and to yearn to grow in our understanding of your will for creation and for our lives. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, our opening scriptures detail for us that Stephen was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit. His character was not defined, you see, by his wealth, by his status, nor by his ego. Rather, Stephen was a trusted servant of God, full of wisdom and faith. He's a man who valued and placed his witness above every luxury of carnal living, evident by his good reputation. Now, I know we're short into the sermon, but I believe that it is paramount that we recognize Stephen's character should elicit within all of us an examination of conscience, especially all of us who identify as Christian. So let me step off a little further about my meaning of this. Here at Green Forest United Methodist Church, we have people here who are conservatives, who are moderates, and who are progressives, or maybe identify as liberals, who worship here, identify as Christians. And I can only presume that I have that same platform, if you will, of those of you who are watching this morning. So when I say, for those of you who identify as Christian, I want you to hear me. Regardless of what your stance is for the faith, it bears no fruit when we allow our character and reputation to become tainted. Sacrificing for what you believe in, as far as in the Christian faith, will never demand of you to be hateful, spiteful, nor ruthless. These are all tools of the enemy. These are the tools that will be used by our enemy to taint our character and our reputation. You know, the only thing in Scripture that we're ever encouraged to be ruthless about is divesting our heart of all things that are contrary to the love of God. Now, the Scriptures share that this young man, Stephen, was chosen because of his good works. And I want to remind everyone today that Ephesians 2:10 speaks to us directly, those of us who identify as Christians, telling us that we are God's accomplishment, created in Jesus Christ to do good things. God planned for these good things to be the way that we live our lives. So if you're watching this morning and you feel you know what God's assignment is for your life, or maybe what God's assignment is for your life at this specific time, God doesn't need nor want help from me or from you if it involves swindling or finessing in ways that could diminish mine and your witness. Stephen's witness was increasing the number of disciples in Jerusalem in his day. And I want to tell you, friend, God intends to use mine and your witness to do the same thing today. Now, because of time restraint, we did not read all that transpired within Stephen's story that is located within the last half of chapter 6 and chapter 7. So let me just kind of share with you this morning the Reader's Digest version, if you will. To begin with, Stephen began, once his ministry began to take off, he began experiencing opposition due to his kingdom assignment. No one could deny this young man's wisdom that was given to him by the Holy Spirit. So the spiritual leaders who argued against him, they began to use the same tactics towards Stephen that they had used on Jesus. They accused him of blaspheming against God, blaspheming against the customs of Moses, blaspheming against the temple. And while they had him on trial, Stephen proclaimed the mighty wonders and promises of God's covenant, all the way starting back with Abraham, his deliverance of Israel throughout the Exodus story, and even went on to say that through the prophets he had promised the coming of the Messiah. And then he concludes his argument. Well, I'll tell you what. I want to read to you his conclusion of his argument and how the Pharisees responded. It's found in Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through 60. Dave's going to provide them for you as well. He goes on to say, "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was given through the angels, but have not obeyed it." And when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, a man full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And at this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell fast asleep. Man, I don't know about you, but there's a whole lot and that little bit of reading to digest. You know, first off, did you notice that I shared with you that the Jews used the same tactics on Stephen as they did with Jesus? Do you know what the definition of insanity is? It's to do the same thing over and over and expect a different result. The Jews referenced in our readings, those referenced in Stephen's testimony, suffered, I believe, from this definition. They thought their murderous, self-serving actions were promoting a righteousness that would exalt the kingdom of God. Yet thousands of years later, we are still using their story as just the opposite. Suffice to say, they exemplified what godly character and godly witness do not look like. What I do hope that we noticed is that in these last few verses, we see from Stephen's example that if you and I are willing to give our lives sacrificially to what we believe in, again, I'm talking about following Jesus Christ, the Christian faith, it will give you and I valor. We'll be able to stand amid controversy, in the midst, if you will, of danger, during life-threatening situations, in confidence of Christ's deliverance. Well, I cannot even fathom what Stephen was going through or the range of emotions that must be surging within him. Scriptures detail that the Holy Spirit focused Stephen not on the situation nor on his accusers, but on Jesus Christ. I mean, this is a truth, friends, that I want to live into. It's the power of God that I long to experience. I mean, friends, I've yearned for this long before there was ever anything called COVID-19. but even more so with all the craziness that is associated with this coronavirus. I mean, I don't need to hear any more about conspiracy theories. I'm not scared that the world is ending, nor that there's a one world order that is evolving to take over everything. What I need is for the Holy Spirit to lift my head up and rise me above everything that is seeking to drag me down, the very things that are ambushing my character, the very things that are seeking to kill my witness. I'm sorry, Chris, I did what I said I wasn't going to do, didn't I? Sorry, folks. Let me get back to a Memorial Sunday sermon. You know, I've spoken with soldiers who have survived horrible experiences of war. And I've heard their regrets for killing another human being simply because that person was wearing a different uniform. Yet most of these men that I've spoken with, their hearts today cry out for the survivors of the soldiers they helped terminate, as well as the survivors of the men and women they served beside. See, Stephen displayed the same kind of heart as he seeks God's mercy for those who are killing him. So that gives me one final thought of the day, and that is this. A life of sacrifice is not easy. While it may sound terrible or even impossible or unattainable based on one's past or present experiences, to lay down our life for the things that we say we believe in, and again, I'm talking about the Christian faith, this is how we experience the fullness and the richness of God's virtue and God's grace. It's how you and I display our witness. People who have the integrity and the dignity of Jesus Christ. I mean, if we know the God to whom we are sacrificing our selfishness for, or maybe I should say it this way. If we know the God to whom we're willing to lay down our lives, take up our cross, and follow, then we know living sacrificially is holy and perfectly for our benefit. As one theologian writes, Jesus willingly laid down his life and received everything he ever dreamed of. Restored relationship with me and you. So tell me this morning, friend, what do you think is waiting for you on the other side of a sacrifice today? Tell you one truth, and that is this. If you don't sacrifice for what you want will be the sacrifice. Listen, I've got things I need to sacrifice in my own life. So I found this prayer meditation that I want to lead us into, to encourage you and I to sacrifice the things that are hindering us from experiencing the fullness of God's grace and blessing in our life. I'm going to ask that you just be in a spirit of prayer with me right now, and to start that by meditating on Jesus' command for you and I to live our lives sacrificially. Begin to reflect right now on God's desire to lead you to abundant life through surrender and sacrifice. Take just a moment to ponder, examine, investigate what that looks like for you. Remember, Jesus said, he came that we may have life and have it abundantly. Now, friends, I want to ask you, what do you need to surrender to our Heavenly Father this morning? Is it a dream? An idea? A person? Possessions? What is robbing you of that abundant life God intends for you to have? Where do you need to live sacrificially to experience more of Jesus? Right now, I want you to surrender whatever it is that stands in the way of you experiencing that abundant life God has promised and extended to you. Friends, ask the Holy Spirit to make the will of God known to you as He did for Jesus. To commit right now to following whatever He is instructing or asking you to do. Commit right now to living sacrificially. Glory to the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. God, you've heard our prayers this morning. You know what each one of us struggles with. You know the dark corners of our hearts, the besetting sins that seem to haunt us, the addictions that we have that continue to control us. Now, Lord, we come. We're willing to sacrifice these things before you. Lay them at the foot of your altar in hopes and in excitement and expectation of experiencing resurrection from within. Experiencing your grace in a way that not only pardons us, but empowers us to be people who live sacrificially for your kingdom and for your glory, just as we see as Stephen is doing. May it be so, Lord. We love you, God, and we offer this prayer and this praise and this proclamation in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.